Well, welcome one and all to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School on this 28th day of January 2017. Welcome to those that are joining us over the phone or listening to the recording. It's a pleasure and a privilege and an honor to have you fellowship with us in worshiping our God in spirit and in truth. Before we get into our study book of Desire of Ages, it's time for opening prayer, and our dear brother Jimmy will offer that for us now.
If we can all kneel, bow our heads. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for waking us up this morning, Father, for allowing us to have a great night's rest, dear Lord. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would please continue to watch over us, dear Lord. That you please help us to stay strong in our faith, dear Lord. To continue to never forget who we belong to, dear Lord. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you please help us to continue to stay humble, to continue to be compassionate. We pray, dear Lord, that you please help us to become less and less like this world, dear Lord, and more like you, Christ. We pray, dear Lord, that you please help us to set an example, dear Lord, before others, dear Lord, that we may move their hearts and have them questioning and want to know more. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you please help us to continue to do right by you, Father. We pray, dear Lord, that we may use anything that we may learn today, dear Lord, and hold it in our hearts, that we may be able to spread that to others, dear Lord. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you please continue to watch over us throughout this day, and watch over throughout those that don't have a home, Father. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And the dear brother, I can tell you are growing in grace, and please continue advancing. So amen indeed. We're in chapter 41, entitled The Crisis in Galilee. And we ended last time with the chapter dealing with a night on the lake, where the disciples had quite a great experience going from one level of fear of dying and finding out how vain was human strength without Christ to help. And then seeing the Savior coming to them and then passing them by until they cried out for his help. And then he was there to help them. Especially with Peter, you know, Peter was overcome with relief as well as joy at seeing the Lord, and he asked Christ if he could come over to him on the water. And as long as Peter kept his eyes on the Savior, he was able to perform miraculous wonders because the glory was going to Christ. But when he became uplifted in pride, look at what I'm able to do, and turned to look at the rest of his companions that weren't able to do what he was doing, then he lost his hold on Christ and sank in the water. But when Peter recognized his need of help, that he could not walk on his own power, he needed the Lord to help him walk. And he called out for Christ. Immediately, Christ put out his hand and reconnected Peter back with him and brought him to safety. The same with each one of us, dear ones. When we finally understand that we cannot do a single thing to God's glory on our own strength, by ourselves, that we need the Lord's companionship and his divine grace to help us perform this miracle of overcoming sin in our lives, That's when the Savior is right there, helping us step by step to safety and ultimately eternal life. So that's where we ended last time. And now we pick it up at this new chapter, Crisis in Galilee, page 383. When Christ forbade the people to declare him king, he knew that a turning point in his history was reached. Multitudes who desired to exalt him to the throne today would turn from him tomorrow. Why would they turn from him? It was because he was not the Messiah that they hoped for. His mission was not to exalt them into prominence over their enemies. His mission was to exalt them to God in character, not in temporal advantages, but in character. So they were ready to crown him king when they thought that he had come for their temporal advantage. But when they discovered that he came for their spiritual health, they didn't want him anymore. Continuing. The disappointment of their selfish ambition would turn their love to hatred and their praise to curses. Yet knowing this, he took no measures to avert the crisis. From the first, he had held out to his followers no hope of earthly rewards. To one who came desiring to become his disciple, he had said, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Matthew 8:20. If men could have had the world with Christ, multitudes would have proferred him their allegiance. But such service he could not accept. James tells us that the love of the world makes you an enemy of God. Christ tells us that you cannot serve both mammon or the world and him at the same time. The Bible tells us, "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So then when you hear about ministers of the gospel, supposedly, preaching that God wants you to be rich and wealthy and well off in this world, they are teaching exactly the opposite to what Christ holds out to his followers. They're trying to blend together Christianity and worldliness in one package. And it can't be done and still be a true follower of Christ. Now, God doesn't want all of his people to be poor and miserable. He desires the best for you. But the most important goal and object in your life is not to be riches. It's to become connected with Christ. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness as your own. And then all of these other things will fall into place according to God's perfect will. So those ministers preaching a gospel of profitableness, a gospel of riches, a gospel of wealth, have got it backwards. They should be teaching the gospel of seeking first Jesus Christ and his righteousness And then all these other things will fall into place. The Old Testament brings it out very clearly. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So coming directly to the shepherd, all of your external needs will be taken care of because you have connected yourself with the source of salvation. Amen. My cup runneth over. Because you've come to the Lord and He has filled it. Filled it to overflowing with His righteousness, goodness, and love. So when people came to Christ, He could tell that their goal was selfish advancement and was not spiritual advancement. And so right in the very beginning, He said, look, I don't have any kind of wealth. I don't have property. I don't have a home. If you come and follow me, these things must be secondary. But I, your Lord, must be first in your life, in your affections, in your goals. Otherwise, you're an enemy of God. My Father sent me to you that you may have life and life more abundantly than you've ever had before. Abundant in spiritual knowledge, divine power, overcoming sin, not in the world's riches and favor and honor. So if men and women could have had the world with Christ at the same time, multitudes would have devoted themselves to His service. But that kind of self-seeking service, Christ could not accept. Amen. Some comments in the room says, selfish gain while their followers become more poor is sad indeed. Another comment says, spiritual riches are priceless. Amen. They can't be bought with money. They can only be given you as a gift by your connecting with the Savior in heart. Amen. Psalms 37:25. I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his children begging for bread. Amen indeed. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. God promises that. And hallelujah indeed. The Lord has had us in this ministry work now for 30 years, almost 31 years. And God has been more than faithful throughout every day, month, and year that He has called us into the ministry. Praise His holy name. So I can say, just like with David, God is faithful abundantly to all of those who accept Christ from their heart and serve Him as their Lord. So the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Matthew 8:20. Continuing. If men could have had the world with Christ, multitudes would have preferred him their allegiance, but such service he could not accept. Of those now connected with him, there were many who had been attracted by the hope of a worldly kingdom. So even his disciples were not above this attraction. But yet Christ saw something in them that he could change within their hearts if he would let them. And they chose to remain with Christ. And Christ did not repulse them, even though they did not see and understand in clarity what his mission was all about, or even some of the truths that he shared. And praise God for that, dear ones. How many of us have not seen clearly in some areas of faith or truth or doctrine, and yet God has bore with us and not discarded us away, even though we didn't see clearly? I would say every one of us here, including myself. Amen. Love is patient, kind, long-suffering, forbearing, thinkest the best of others, not the worst. Amen indeed. So of those now connected with him, his disciples, there were many who had been attracted by the hope of a worldly kingdom. Continuing. These must be undeceived. The deep spiritual teaching in the miracle of the loaves had not been comprehended. What was God able to do with those 5,000 to 15,000 people there? He was able to take the little bit and multiply it to satisfy all of them. And there was even some left over. That's what God can do for those that put their trust in him. He's able to take the little and multiply it to satisfy everyone. Amen. Quote in the room, Acts of the Apostles, page 523. It is right to love beauty and to desire it, but God desires us to love and seek first the highest beauty, that which is imperishable. No outward adorning can compare in value or loveliness with that meek and quiet spirit, the fine linen, white and clean, Revelation 19:14, which all the holy ones of earth will wear. This apparel will make them beautiful and beloved here, and will hereafter be their badge of admission to the palace of the king. His promise is, they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Amen indeed. And John 15:16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it you. Amen. And praise God indeed for choosing each one of us here to be his followers and become the children of the Most High. Amen indeed. So Christ connected with him those that did not clearly understand his mission or comprehend all the truths that he shared. And it was his purpose to have them continue to be in connection with him so that they could be undeceived, so that their misunderstanding could be alleviated, so that their belief in false doctrines could be taken away from them and they could see the light. It's the same with each one of us here, dear ones. God doesn't wait until we're perfect in understanding before he allows us to become his sons and daughters. He accepts us before we're perfect. Not that we're living in sin knowingly, but that we have chosen his son to be our savior. And the Father accepts us in his son as perfect. We still have growing to do. That process of sanctification will continue on throughout our entire life. There will always be advancement that we can make in faith, in hope, in trust, in understanding, and in living like the Savior. And there will always be sufficient divine power given us through Christ, which will enable us to advance. Christ mentioned planting the seed of corn or the seed of grain in the earth. As soon as it sprouts, it doesn't immediately become fully mature. It goes through step-by-step stages of growth and advancement, ever coming forward, ever advancing upward to that full, mature, fruit-bearing stock. It's the same with each one of us, dear ones. And praise God for being there every step of the way to bless and multiply our advancement. Amen. Comment in the room says, without Jesus, there are no perfections. Amen indeed. But with Christ, we'll be able to do all things, including become perfect. And amen. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. So the disciples needed to be in connection with the truth, with Jesus, in order to become undeceived, in order to be led into all the truth and understand it. But the deep spiritual teaching in the miracle of the loaves, feeding 5 to 15,000 people, was not comprehended by the disciples. Continuing, this was to be made plain, and this new revelation would bring with it a closer test. So here the disciples had been tested and they failed it. So what was going to happen because they failed to learn that deep spiritual teaching? There was to be a new revelation of truth, or a greater teaching. It couldn't be on the same level because they had that level of light and yet didn't comprehend it. So then God had to bring another test, another greater light of truth, that hopefully this would now be sufficient to break through the darkness of their hearts. And the same thing happens to each one of his followers today, dear ones. When God shares with us a truth and we don't comprehend it, God will not give up on us. He'll bring another truth and he'll let this one shine brighter to try and awaken us to the reality of the truth. And with each new revelation of light comes a new test. If we're going to follow the light or not. So if we fail in one point, God will reach out to us in a greater way. If we fail in that point, God will reach out to us in an even greater way until finally he's given us the greatest amount of light possible. And he can give us no more past that point. And praise God for sending to us the Holy Spirit that will quicken our understanding and allow us to comprehend the truth before it's too late. The test comes with what we're going to do with the truth. The Spirit opens our understanding. Now, what are we going to do with this new understanding? Are we going to follow it? Are we going to plead with Christ for his grace and strength to live it? If we do, then we have passed the test. But if we say, Lord, this week's not a good time. Let's try next week. Next week I'll be willing to follow the truth. Next week may never come. If it does come, we may not have the same determination to keep our promise and follow that truth. Or that truth may not be as bright in intensity as it first was because we didn't follow it when it was bright. Amen. We need to step out in faith. If we know it's truth, it's always going to be truth. Why wait to follow it? That's where the test comes. Do we love the truth more than we love our peace, our possessions, our family members? And the truth is Christ. So in other words, do we love the Savior more than anything else in this world? Amen. Like Peter, ask Christ for help, and as he beckons us to him, then step out on that water. Because your focus is on coming to the Savior, not on your ability to walk on water, but on your ability to follow Christ. And amen, the truth will set you free. So the disciples did not catch the meaning of the feeding of the 5,000. And so now, a greater revelation of truth was going to come to them, and a greater test was included in that greater light. Continuing. The miracle of the loaves was reported far and near, and very early next morning the people flocked to Bethsaida to see Jesus. They came in great numbers by land and sea. Those who had left him the preceding night returned, expecting to find him still there, for there had been no boat by which he could pass to the other side. And yet Christ was able to get to the other side. So our extremity, our great need of help, is God's opportunity to help. God could have strengthened Christ to swim across that lake, that Sea of Galilee. But God did even more, more miraculous than that, and allowed Christ to walk. And it wasn't just Christ that God would perform this miracle for, but he did it also for Peter, as long as Peter looked to the Savior. And we see how weak and failing Peter was, so then there's hope for each one of us, that looking unto the Savior, God will still perform miracles through us in our time of need. So it's not just for Jesus that God manifested his miracles. He can do it through each one of us, dear ones. So the people came in great numbers expecting to find Jesus still there. Continuing. But their search was fruitless, and many repaired to Capernaum, still seeking him. Meanwhile, he had arrived at Gennesaret after an absence of but one day. As soon as it was known that he had landed, the people ran through that whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard he was. After a time he went to the synagogue, and there those that had come from Bethsaida found him. They learned from his disciples how he had crossed the sea. So here Christ did not parade himself as being favored of God by being able to walk on the water, and yet news of how he crossed the sea reached the people. It spread like wildfire. And Christ was not the source of the spreading of this miracle. It was the people who witnessed it that spread it to others, and they in turn to still others. So this shows us, dear ones, that we don't have to parade what God has done for us in word or deed or thought. We don't have to have great parade and... So are there any thoughts or comments or questions before we continue, dear ones? And please go right ahead. Amen. Comment in the room, or a quote in the room says, make Christ as your pattern. Hold him up as the one who can give you power to overcome. Utterly destroy the root of selfishness. Magnify God, for you are his children. Glorify your Redeemer, and he will give you a place in his kingdom. Amen. Adventist Home, page 96. And Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Amen. So Christ went to one of the synagogues there in Gennesaret, and his arrival there was spread around, and people came by flocks to see him. So they learned from his disciples how Christ had crossed the sea, continuing. The fury of the storm and the many hours of fruitless rowing against adverse winds, the appearance of Christ walking upon the water, the fears thus aroused, his reassuring words, the adventure of Peter and its result, with the sudden stilling of the tempest and landing of the boat, were all faithfully recounted to the wondering crowd. So it wasn't just the fact that the miracle of God in allowing Christ to walk upon the water was related, but also everything connected with the disciples and with Christ was related. That meant that the teaching, the spiritual truth of the fact that connected with Christ you can do miracles, but outside of connection with Christ you can do nothing. The spiritual insight of being focused on Christ by Peter allowed him to come to him, but when his gaze was focused on men and away from Christ, he sank and could do nothing. All of that was relayed. Would the disciples accept the lesson? Amen. Without Christ, we can do nothing. So all this was faithfully recounted to the wondering crowd. Continuing. Not content with this, however, many gathered about Jesus questioning. And look at their question. Rabbi, when camest thou hither? What should their question have been? Rabbi, how can I be a follower of you? You see where their focus was on? Amen. Rabbi, take my life. Lead me, guide me, help me. Their focus was not on their soul's need, but was on how's it possible that you could walk on the water? So, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Continuing. They hoped to receive from his own lips a further account of the miracle. Jesus did not gratify their curiosity. He sadly said, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. In other words, they came to him to satisfy their temporal needs, not their spiritual needs. Continuing. They did not seek him from any worthy motive, but as they had been fed with the loaves, they hoped still to receive temporal benefit by attaching themselves to him. The Savior bade them, labor not for the meat which perisheth, for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Seek not merely for material benefit. Let it not be the chief effort to provide for the life that now is, but seek for spiritual food, even that wisdom which will endure unto everlasting life. When Christ came to visit Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary chose to remain within the company of Christ because she wanted to hear the truths which he would speak and to receive them into her heart. But her sister became focused upon the temporal food, providing for the needs of all of those that were there. And when Mary didn't come to help her, Martha then went directly to Christ and said, Lord, I'm so busy doing this and doing that and getting everything prepared in temporal food, and my sister is sitting there not helping me at all. Make her come and help me. What did Christ tell Martha? You're worried about the cares of life, whereas Mary has chosen the best the truth of life. Mary was seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these other things would fall into their proper place afterwards. Martha was focused on the cares of this life, and then afterward, she would come and partake of the truth that Christ had to give. She had it backwards. Just like the people here, the multitudes, the crowds, were coming to Christ for the temporal blessing, not for the spiritual blessing. And dear ones, we need to avoid that same danger, allowing the cares of this world to so perplex and fill us that we neglect to come to the Son that we might have life. When you wake up in the morning after a good night's sleep and God has given you life for another day, what's the first thing that you think about? What's the first thing that you do? Comment in the room is pray. Amen. You thank God for giving you another day of life. Do you spend time in study of his word each day? Do you allow your spiritual life to be filled with the bread of life? Or do you allow your physical body to be filled first before you consider studying, filling your spiritual life with food? Are you really seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in your daily life? If so, then the Lord would be first. So even in the little things of life, amen, we need to put God first in our daily lives. Amen. Make daily provision to spend with the Lord, as did Mary. So don't be a Martha. Be a Mary. Continuing. The Savior bade them labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Seek not merely for material benefit. Let it not be the chief effort to provide for the life that now is, but seek for spiritual food, even that wisdom which will endure unto everlasting life. This the Son of God alone can give. For him hath God the Father sealed. So if you want to receive the seal of the living God in your forehead, you must put him first and foremost in your daily lives. Because it's only the Son of God who can give you eternal life. It's only the Son of God that can fill you to the full with his divine grace and strength. Without him, you are lost. So it doesn't matter if you gain the whole world. If you've lost the Son, you've lost it all. So then Jesus must be the first, the best, the most important in your life. Everything else is secondary. Everything else will fall into its proper place if you put Jesus first. May that be the goal of each one of our lives from now until Christ comes in the clouds of heaven. Putting him first because he loved us first. He is worthy. And it's only through connection with him that we can become the sons and daughters of the Most High. And this is my prayer. May we bow our heads. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for your long suffering to each one of us. Thank you for putting up with our dullness of mind and lack of comprehension. Thank you for not forsaking us and casting us away when we didn't catch the importance of the truth that you mercifully shed upon us and brought to our eyesight. Forgive us for failing the many tests of the past. Thank you for your patience in waiting for us to awaken. Thank you for pouring your Spirit upon us in rich abundance. And Spirit, thank you for opening our comprehension, for making it sharper and less dull, for quickening our perception and letting us see the light above the darkness. Thank you for working within us on a continuing basis to grow in grace. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So praise God from whom all blessings flow, especially for the Savior. Well, let us take a few minute break. Before our next meeting begins, our main church service. And let us come back about 10 after 11 on Pacific Coast or 10 after 2 on the East Coast. And so we'll see you then.